So 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as Scripture says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. God has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, especially the deep things of God. Okay? Now I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We're looking at things that are not seen. Okay? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Okay? Have y'all been looking at it? Well, there's eternity right there, praise the Lord. Okay, so now what we've been doing, we've been positioning ourselves for the awakening. The awakening is here. It's happening right now. They're having great revivals on the East Coast, on the West Coast. If you keep up with things that are going on, the Victory Update, I'm telling you, there are pastors about to meet in California. They're all getting together, and they say they're going to go from blue to red. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So whatever that means to you, all I know is it is revival. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So we're positioning ourselves for that, and we've been studying Hesed. This is that obligatory love that God has toward us, wanting to get across to you how much God loves you, how much God favors you, how much He's on your side, getting to know Him so that you won't live and have filters of misconception on how God feels about you, how God loves you. So we need to know Him, and we need to, if we're going to see any results in life, then we're going to share the love of God with people. We want to be able to do it in the right way, in the right stream, not mechanically, church. But we want to have an understanding so that the real love of God does come through us. Amen? So we have to know Him as source of everything. Source of everything. So during this time, I'm just trying to make sure that you don't become a mechanical witness. I want it to be more than that. There's power on your life and in your life. Amen? So the best witnesses walk in power. The best witnesses walk in true love, in pure love. And so it's not just people going around seeing how many people they can win to Jesus and saying, I'll twist your arm and see if you'll say the words. But it's about people really repenting and coming in to Jesus, really receiving Him, a heart matter. And so I want to ask you this question. Did you know that the actual presence of the Spirit of God on Jesus stirred up hunger for God in people? Mm-hmm. Now think about that. So when Jesus walked up on the scene, people got hungry, and they got hungry for a reason. They sensed something. They felt the power, you know. They felt, just kidding on that singing there, but I'm telling you, they walked up to Him, and they were in awe. Remember in the movies how they would try to do Jesus when He'd walk up on the scene? They're just doing that to try to tell you that He was in power, that He's coming on the scene, that He's anointed. Amen. And so when Jesus walked up to people, when the Apostle Paul walked up to people, when Peter walked up to people, when John walked up to people, there was a presence on them. There was an anointing on them. And that hunger that would get on people brought changes in their attitudes. They wanted to serve God. Went, well, okay, I guess. I think some of the greatest ministry out on the street is when you walk up to someone and say, can I pray for your broken arm or whatever? And they get healed right there. And then everybody goes, wow, something's going on here. And people truly repent. So it was the unseen on Jesus that was actually drawing and winning people. It was the anointing on His words and the anointing on the person of Jesus that caused people to want to be near Him. There's one thing that we need to keep fresh on our minds, church, and that is that the invisible world is superior to the natural world. We need to understand that. The reality of the invisible world dominates the natural world. It could dominate it positively or negatively. When they collide, something happens. Jesus gave us specific instructions. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added. What does that mean? It means this. You're going to have to seek the unseen. Amen. He's saying, turn your attention to the invisible. All of Father's benefits are accessible. All of them. They're all accessible, but they're all in the spirit realm. Yeah, Lord. So, how are you going to access all of those things in the invisible? By faith. Right. By faith. And I think many of us, now I need you to hear me very clearly on this right here. I think many of us think that we have this thought that the ability to see into the invisible realm is more a result of a special gift than an unused potential that everyone has. See what I'm saying? Well, is this a gift because Sister Pauline can see angels? Is this a gift that people see things? No, it's a potential that's in you. It's a potential that's in you. We were born again how? By grace through faith. But it had to come through faith so you could receive the grace through faith. See, a heart that doesn't see is a heart that's hard. If you can't see into the invisible, it's right over there in Romans 10. You can't see over there because you have a hard heart. What the scripture say? You don't have to bring Jesus down. It's the word of faith that's in you. It's what's in you. It's that faith that is in you. You don't have to have a hard heart. You can see if you want to. Faith was never intended to just get us into the family. Rather, it's the nature of the life in this family. It's God's nature that we live by faith. We look into the unseen. Amen. Faith brings the kingdom into focus. Just get a picture of that right now. Okay, it just focused. I see my stuff. Okay? Quiet in the church. All of Father's benefits are accessible by faith. All of them. I'm repeating that again. They all are. Faith lives within the revealed will of God. When you know the will of God and you can, what, see it? You say this sometimes, oh, I see. You might have been looking at a wall. And you go, oh, I see. Have you? Or someone's talking to you and you go, oh, I see it. What are you seeing with? You're seeing with the eye of faith. You're seeing with something on the inside of you. See, you know, when you have misconceptions of who God is and what he's like, your faith will be restricted by those misconceptions. Example, if you believe that God builds character with sickness, then you'll have no confidence in praying about your healing. Because why pray for it? He could be building character. But if I believe sickness is to the body as sin is to the soul, that's a whole different story. Then no disease will intimidate me. Amen. Can you see how misconceptions affect those who have faith, they're trying to have faith for their own miracle? If they have a misconception, aren't you glad you ended up in the right camp? Aren't you glad you ended up where you found out you can see that healing belongs to the body of Christ? You can see that healing belongs to the world because of what Jesus did. I heard a story one time of a lady who told the minister, she says, well, I just feel like God allows sickness for a purpose. And he just talked back to her and he said, well, I'll just tell you what, if I treated my children the way you're talking about, I'd be arrested for child abuse. Now, when he said that, she went, oh, I see. And she got healed. When you see, you can get it. It's hidden in there for you. It's put in there for you. But you can get it by faith. Faith is seeing into that realm. Unbelief is anchored in what's visible or reasonable. Come on. Well, you know, how could God give me 10,000 by tomorrow? Doesn't matter how. It's that he can. And he will. See? You see where I'm going with that? So faith is anchored in the unseen realm. It's not anchored here. It's anchored in the unseen realm. Thank you for that, Lord. It lives from the invisible to the visible. Faith actualizes what it realizes. Here it is. I can have it. It's mine. It'll actually become mine because I believe it. Amen. Faith provides eyes to see, church. Church, listen. God is very committed to teaching you how to see. To make this possible, he gave you Holy Spirit. He's our tutor. And then he gave you a lot of curriculum. A lot of it. And it's quite varied, but I'll tell you just one of them, and that's worship. The one class that will qualify us is worship. Learning how to see is not the purpose of worship, but it's the byproduct of it. Those who worship in spirit and truth, they learn to follow the Spirit's lead. David did that. Amen? David was so affected by this that all his other exploits pale in comparison to his worshiping God, to his abandoned heart. He had an abandoned heart to God. He wrote about his abandoned heart and God, not the other stuff. Someone else wrote that. He loved being connected with the unseen God. When you're worshiping, you're worshiping the unseen God. That's faith. That's faith. Psalm 16:8 says, I've set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. The presence of God affected David's seeing. God is with me. God is for me. I come to you in the name of the Lord God, who I have a covenant with. This uncircumcised Philistine will go down just like an animal, just like the bear. Yeah, why? Why is he saying that? Covenant, yes. Knowledge, things that happened in his life. But mostly, God was with him, and he could see it. He could see that God was with him, and he wasn't judging by the height of the giant, the people. He wasn't judging by anything except that God was with him. He constantly practiced the presence of God. He saw godly daily, not with the natural eyes, but with the eyes of faith, Mata. That's how he was seeing God, with the eyes of faith. And that priceless revelation was given to a worshiper, not a warrior, a worshiper. It takes faith to worship and faith to help you focus on who you're worshiping. Does it? Well, they're singing songs over in that church. I don't know why. I remember hearing this. People talk about our non-denominational churches, our Word and Faith churches. They say, why do they sing the same line over all the time? What are they doing that for? They didn't get what we were doing. We were looking into the invisible. We were worshiping the invisible God. Praise the Lord. Now, listen. Real faith is not living in the denial of the natural realm. It's not. If the doctor says someone has a tumor, it's not faith to pretend like it's not there. No, no. That's not faith. However, faith is founded on the reality that there is something superior to that tumor. There's something superior to it. Okay? I can acknowledge the tumor's there, but I can deny its right to stay and have faith in the provision of the stripes that were given for my healing. I was provisionally healed 2,000 years ago. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. It's the byproduct of the kingdom of God. It's yours. You can't see healing, but it'll come and manifest. So you don't have to say, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick. No, you say, I deny sickness, its right to abide in my body. I'm healed. That's what faith does. It brings the superior to cancel out the natural. Lack can be canceled by the blessing. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because, church, the invisible realm is the superior realm. That's what we have to get used to. There's no tumors in heaven. There's no tumors in heaven. And faith brings that reality into this world. That's what it does. People with no faith call themselves realists. Well, I'm just a realist. I'm just a realist. It's there and it's happening. And I don't know why y'all lie. We're not lying. We just see a superior realm. They believe the natural world over the spiritual world. That's what they believe. But people of faith are the real realists. Yeah, we are. Yes, we are. We're the real realist because we have our foundation in a superior reality. Unbelief is faith in something besides God. Our faith in God and is in God, and it's in His provision. The provision is kept in the invisible realm until you make a demand on it. And when you make a demand on it, it will manifest. That's why we prayed that and touched that together a while ago for whatever you were believing for to come to pass. We were in agreement for manifestation. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 11:1, what does it say? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Most faith people know that scripture, don't they? Things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. If I order a pizza and they give me number 17 in a receipt, when the pizza number 17 is ready, that pizza's mine. You with me? Let me just say it one more time. If I order a pizza and they give me the number 17 and my receipt, when pizza number 17 is ready, it's mine. Okay? Here's the question. How does the product of heaven know where to land? Are y'all getting hungry now? How does the product of heaven know where to land? Okay. How does it know where to land? It looks for the substance. It looks for the number. 17. Okay. It's looking for the substance, the number. If a question comes up over the validity of my number, then I have my receipt, which is contained in the Bible, which verifies my right both to the number and the pizza. Does that make it easy?
Yeah.
It's just faith by pizza. That's as easy as I can make it. Heaven is moved. You're holding your number. And here's the real world all around you, the invisible world. And you, if your eyes, these eyes, not your faith eyes, if these eyes were open to how many angelic forces were in this room and how many things were trying to get delivered, you'd be holding up your number.
Wow.
And they won't have to call you and say, this is Billy the Angel, and we can't seem to get through your gate. Can you? If I order a pizza and they give me the number 17, I'm not going to let you leave till you know it. 17 is the substance. Faith is the substance. That's mine. That's mine. Right over here. It's mine. Have you ever noticed how people smile when their food comes? They're all sitting there. They're not talking to mama or anybody. Here comes the food. And you know, you go, they'll bring it to the table, and they're going, they just did this with all of us. We always sit at the Lazy Susan at the Chinese, and they come and say, Mugu Gai Pan, and I'll go, mine. And they'll go, let's see, what does Virginia get? She gets orange chicken. Yeah, orange chicken, that's me. See, we know what we ordered. You know what you ordered. Uh-huh. Matt got some shrimp toast. They brought it to the table. We all knew it was Mac's. Yeah. Heaven will know what you ordered.
Oh, that's so good.
Heaven will know what you are. Hold your number up. Your number up? There you go. Somebody got it right there. Heaven is moved by faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. You can see heaven and you can receive from heaven.